Welcome to Sunday Service with Dr. Paula Price. Take a seat, open up your Bible, and prepare to enjoy an evening of praise, worship, revelation, and insight as Dr. Price releases pearls of wisdom from the throne of God.
This teaching is on the 14 events continuum. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do, what you achieve, God, and what we're going to become because of your wisdom. God, I thank you for counting me faithful, putting me in this ministry, enabling me, Lord, to grasp you, wrap my thoughts, my understanding, my passions and hungers, and as well as my intelligence around you, Lord, so that this has not just been a spiritual journey, but it's been a wise journey. And so I thank you, God, for both your wisdom and your intelligence, for your spirit and your enthusiasm. And God, most of all, I thank you for Jesus. God, I thank you for helping us understand him in a new way, in a rich way, and in a fuller way. I open up their understanding. I lift the veil of the old off of you today. I break you free from the old anointings. I break you free from the doctrines of old, not because they were right or wrong, but because it's time to go into the new thing. And so I give you a mind for the new era Christian. I give you the mind for the new era Christianity. I give you the mind for what God is doing in this generation, that you may be a people who go forth to rescue this generation. And God, I thank you for making it clear and plain to every heart here. I command the spirit of dullness, confusion, doubt, unbelief, and every other adversary against the Lord Jesus Christ, his revelation, to be cast out. And I impart to you today the spirit of knowledge and revelation, full understanding, and full illumination of mind, heart, and soul on what God would have you learn about him today in Jesus' name. Whew, what a sugar. The 14 events continuum, and we're going to say this a lot, is based on Matthew 1:17. So you can keep that note. We're going to go over it a lot again and again and again. And the doctrine of the 14 events that brought us the nation of Israel, Jesus Christ and his eternal nation, the new creation church, and Christianity. 14 specific events that happened before time began for us and that will end in God's world made what we're living today as Christianity happen, brought it into existence. You've got to recognize the whole essence behind the continuum. And we talked about it a lot this week, is that God had a world before he made this one. And that God already had a resume. He did not make mankind as a mad scientist. We're not his Frankenstein. We are the image and likeness of his son. And so God had a world that was working. As a matter of fact, the world that he had in existence is what is the custodian of our world. For example, if Jesus is light, and he pulls his light out, or he pulls the Holy Spirit out, we got no light. See, we have light because light came into the world. Obviously, it wasn't there because when Jesus came, they had candles. They had torches. It was after the church was born, and it took 1,000 years after the church was born to raise up a people who could dream light because they didn't know it was there. Now, we like to say, well, you know, that's because man didn't understand it. That's my point. Because if Satan could have had light, he would have. Can you imagine you're the angel of light? You pull off this mighty war. You've convinced 1/3 of the citizens of eternity to join you in this revolution. You're the angel of light. You're the light bearer. And what do you lose? Your whole being. If he was the angel of light and he could have given the earth light, it should have come to earth with him. But it did not. Instead, Jesus came as the light of the world. So this guy knew light. He was doing a whole lot of things, manipulating lightning, manipulating storms, trying to bring light into the world that he commandeered. And it's at that time that he knew he lost. Because he couldn't bring light, he couldn't bring motility, he couldn't bring mobility. Light and energy stayed with Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? We went over Isaiah 14:9 this week. Can you imagine when he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. He says that, and he come here and he can't do basics. Angels still got light. Only thing he can illuminate is himself. His ability to diffuse his light is lost in his fall. So he says, hey, I got an idea. There's a new creature God's making. I know what I'll do. I'll take his power and see if through his power, since he's made in the image and likeness of God, and see if through his power I can recapture my power to produce light. All he can do is light himself. So he goes from being a utility system to a candle. When we go through Ezekiel 28, you're going to see that's exactly what God did to him as his punishment. See, because we have saints saying, well, you know, I just don't believe, you know, hell is real, and I believe that the afterlife is this and that. Everything on earth tells you this is not it. Because even now, we have light because we've got wisdom to plug into what the Holy Ghost has brought into the planet. One tornado or a trip to a third world country will remind you that we're still running off God's utilities. Jesus himself is carrying it. And he told us that that's what happened. And so here we are, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and we thought that that was just a philosophy. He came as a philosopher. I'm the light of the world. He came speaking in such deep code that only his world knew. Because he said, wait a minute, what's lighting my world is going to come into your world. What's empowering my world is going to come into your world. So I didn't just save the world by giving everybody eternal life. That wasn't the salvation of the world. The salvation of the world is I took you out of darkness. I took you out of immobility. I took you out of sickness and disease. I gave you the ability to produce something. You couldn't do it. You realize medicine was based on what we call naturopathy, if you will. Then there was no technology. There was no distilling the this out of that and the that out of it. That didn't happen until we got energy. How do I know that? Because Revelation says that when this is all over, there'll be no sun, there'll be no moon, there'll be no stars. Jesus Christ will be the light of the world. A single being. That's why everybody's mad. How are you going to have a single being have that much power? That's messing with folk. Jesus is a problem. He is a stumbling stone. He is a rock of offense. You mean to tell me one human being determines this? He is a problem. He never told you he wasn't going to be a problem. He came here and said, I'm going to be a problem. I'm going to kick up stuff. I'm going to stir up stuff. Folk not going to like me, and they're not going to like you because you belong to me. He never misled us, but our teachers misread what he said. Misread what he said. Tracing the Almighty's kingdom, kingship, listen, Almighty's kingdom, kingship, and kingdom continuum from Adam to Abraham, from Abraham to David, from David to Jesus Christ, from Jesus Christ to his church. In Matthew 1:14, it says from Abraham to David, from David to Babylon, from Babylon to Christ. Each era was 14 generations. So the continuum starts out at Jesus' birthday. Turn your Bible, because you know we need some scripture, because you all get a little stuck. Got to pray for the saints to get frozen. Can we say frozen? Frozen. Matthew 1:17. Because see, here's why you got all of these opinions. First of all, you got folk who don't have light trying to tell you about light. Okay? That's like me arguing with an MIT graduate. Come on, what am I going to say? Boy, you're smart. Although I could hold my own. I can give him some thoughts to take the class and make his next argument on. Look at Matthew 1:17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And then from David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And then from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Now that's the continuum. It's stated right there where God is getting it from. Now, if God says that there's a continuum, why are we breaking it up? When we talked on Saturday, we defined that continuum as not only an unbroken chain of events, but an unbroken chain that must adhere to specific rules of content, programming, sequence, progress, and protection or concealment, because the continuum is both a content holder and a security guard. It's an enclosure. So when we break a chain, we talked about this, when you break a chain, you now have two continuums. When you break it in four ways, you got four. So we're now all operating on our own link in this continuum. We all got, that's what all of these broken pieces of church are. But God named the continuum. That's what is broken pieces of church. We started out as a single chain, an unbroken chain that was connected to eternity, not culture. I said not culture. See, we have taught you culture, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Culture. We teach you the doctrines that humans commanded. Y'all flowing? Teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So we're telling you what humans are doing because they've broken the chain link between eternity and their lives. Eternity and their time. But this world that we are patterned after existed before there was an earth. Before there was an earth, there was a Jesus. Before there was an earth, there was a Gabriel, archangel. There was a Michael. There was a Lucifer. There was a Satan. There was a dragon. Before we came into existence, there was a whole culture, in effect, that we had no knowledge of, still have little knowledge of. And they are the rule makers. They make the rules. We don't make the rules. We conform to the rules, or we decide which link of the chain we're going to be in. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you stay in me, you'll bear much fruit. But if you jump out of me, you're going to be burnt up. Because remember, this devil once had his own light utility system. He is now a candle. That's very powerful. The eternal continuum that prophesied, birthed, manifested natural Israel, incarnated Jesus Christ, begot his eternal nation. What else? And the new creation church, and defines Christianity. The continuum defines Christianity. We are defined by what we started out with, the war in heaven, before the war in heaven, God himself, Jesus himself. God said, let us make man in our image and likeness. Let us make man in our image and in our image and likeness. Now, we've been trying to be like everything else. It cracks me up when you think about science and you think about evolution and all of that kind of stuff. And you know what they want to do? They want to tell you that you are an animal. And you buy that. We name cars after animals. We name our clothes after animals. When you are a hot man, you're a dog. Now that's a promotion. How is that a promotion? How is that elevation? And yet they tell you that their story is better. How is that? You're a snake. You're an ape. Why? Because we decided. We understood. Because all of those things are what Satan did to the folks he took from heaven and seduced into his game. He promised them a better life. He didn't know he was untapping himself from the continuum. And they perverted it and they mutated. And guess what? They are what's producing the problems that God has. When you break away from God, you don't get better. You get worse. You don't get better, you get worse. You think you get better, but you get worse, which is why so many people are mad with God, because they feel like Satan did. Wait a minute, it wasn't supposed to turn out like this. But I mean, I thought you gave me this power. I thought you gave me this. God said, no, I lent it. Everything we have from Jesus Christ is on loan from the Godhead. Just like what you have in the thing. You imagine, you realize we buy into the lie of our houses. We bought a house. No, you don't. You bought the right to pay for a house somebody else paid for before you got in it. And then you bought the right to pay some more on a house that someone else is going to pay on. Because you don't own this house. Because it all belongs to the state. And we're comfortable with saying we have attained and obtained something that's not ours. If the state says, I have an idea, we're going to put a highway right up there. And then you say, wait, no, wait a minute, because see, hold it. I got a deed. Wait, I went around here somewhere. Wait, hold it. Here it is. I got a deed. See, this paper say, I own that. At which point you are introduced to the bane of all contracts, small print. Small print. What's the small print? Should the state decide that it is in its best interest to put you out of your house and to ignore you and ignore your ownership of it, it is free to do so, because then you realize it's not yours. Now, we accept that in the secular world and the natural world, but don't you know God said the same thing? It's not yours. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. If I decide I want you to sing, you'll sing. When I don't want your voice any longer, it's gone. When I say you can dance, you'll dance. If I decide I don't want you to dance any longer, well. Now, why? Because God can't break down God. That's why he can only lend it to you. He can't break down God. Just like if we let everybody really own their property, there'll be no state. You realize that, don't you? God can't break down God, which is why he had to put you in him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God is in you to make you like him. He's not in you to become like you. Wait a minute, hold it. Wait a minute, hold it. All right, are you ready? Come on.
Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
All right. I have to give y'all these classes so y'all can on cue, you know. I'm going to get a little video. It's going to come up there. It's going to do the same thing and say, all right, click. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember, the 14 events alone define Christianity. You are not defined by the cultures of today. Don't buy into the lie that the cultures are new. The only reason that they can sell you on the lie is because you don't read your Bible. Because if you read your Bible, you would recognize Baal. You'd recognize Marduk. You'd recognize Zeus. You'd recognize Ashtoreth. You would recognize all those other gods. You'd recognize Israel. You'd see that they got Diana in Ephesus. That she goes all the way back to Ephesus. You'd recognize Artemis. You don't recognize them because you don't read your Bible. And because we taught you not to. See, we taught you not to read your Bible. We did so well, we said, here's what we said. Now this is deep. And you're probably not going to get it. So just try your best to read a verse a day. Do you remember in the 80s and 90s we had the fortune cookie scriptures? We were so dumb, we can only take a sliver of God at a time. And nobody saw a problem with that. I was utterly offended. I'm like, are you kidding? We were tearing up War and Peace, tearing up Jackie Collins novels, but I mean chewing down the New York Times, Wall Street Journal. We can only do a sliver, just a sliver. And we were proud. And listen, if we did two slivers, oh, honey, we wanted God to give us a blessing. Man, we were like a dog. Give me my treat. Isn't that what we did? We were so excited. Even now, you go to churches, and they'll tell you, I keep it at a fifth grade level for you to get it. And you know, 40,000 people line up to be left in the fifth grade in God. And they're proud of it. Proud of it. You're excited. Oh, yeah, no, my church don't go deep. They break it down for us. Isn't that what we do? And you are not offended. Now, let you sit around your friends and they tell you, I wish I could explain this to you, but I know you can't handle it. Are you kidding? Ego rises all over the place. Oh, my God, who do you think you are? Are you trying to say I'm stupid? Are you trying to say I can't learn? What do you mean you can't give this to me? You can't get in the program. It's too deep. Can't give you a promotion. It's too high. You going to fight? Oh, honey, you going to fight and call? No, baby, you calling lawyers? Honey, you are blogging on the internet. You Facebooking everything. Called you stupid. And yet, go to church, and he says, in the beginning, God. And you're like, loud, roll over, snorting. And you are not embarrassed that in the beginning, God took you out. It's too deep. And Lord knows if he got into the begots. Oh, my Lord. Honey, the begots scared you half to death. You're like, begot? Now you will sit there and watch TMZ to see who begot who. Go tell me who begot and who shouldn't have begot something. Run that list down like that. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, yeah, but you know, they said, watching soap operas for 55 years. Woman been pregnant for 32 years. You hanging in to see what she begot. And you so proud of yourself. Wait a minute, girl, that's my stories. I don't watch my stories. Day stories or night stories? You can end the stories you want to read about who begot who slept with who got raped, who got robbed, who's on drugs. Guess what? That's in the Bible. Baby, it's juicy up in there. I said, God, your world is crazy. He said, I know. But you want to be defined by everything. And here's the con we give you. Well, that's because that's Bible, but you can't really relate to that because God's unseen. So God said, well, let me see if I can counter that because Satan is using these tactics. So I'll send my son in the likeness of man. Maybe that'll help. And you know what you say? He's dead. So is Abraham Lincoln. George Washington. Hallelujah. Martin, yeah, we cry over Martin like he just got shot yesterday. Baby, we cry over Malcolm X. They took their brother out. We cry over the dead all the time. As a matter of fact, you got a rich uncle, you glad they dead because you in the will. So death is not the issue. The issue is that unbelief. You have not faith. And so we let all of the dead things define Christianity. And God is saying, I wrote it. I sent it. I sang it. I danced it. I do all of it. And you know what you say? I don't believe that Bible. You don't believe in the Bible and you believe in Abraham Lincoln. You believe in Hammurabi. Can you know? You believe in Nebuchadnezzar. And I know they do because Iraq does. They got a whole plan to restore Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. We don't know if he was real or not. Well, somebody etched some pictures, yeah, of somebody and put a name on it. Are you kidding? We've been editing lies for years. Isn't it the truth? You don't know half of the people. You got money in your pocket. You don't know them people. Hallelujah. And look for them dead people. Every week you look for dead folk. Every week. I need my dead presidents. Thank you. You know it's the truth. Look in your wallet. See how many dead folks you carrying around. Some of y'all only got a few. Few of y'all got a lot. But you got dead folk in your life. You got dead pictures on your wall. You got dead animals in your house. Prized. Your museum is full of dead folk and dead things. So that can't be it. And yet all of that defines your life, defines your taste. You realize that. Why? Because we bought into Satan's game. We read this, so we'll go on. These are the 14 events. The great war in heaven. The Garden of Eden. Abraham's covenant. The 10 plagues. Moses' exodus. Moses' law. David's kingship. Israel's captivity. Israel's return home. Jesus Christ's incarnation, Jesus Christ's crucifixion, Jesus Christ's resurrection, Jesus' ascension, and lastly, the church's first Pentecost. Those are the events that deal with and brought us Christianity. Christianity is defined by those. From the great war in heaven when Satan said, in his heart, I will raise up my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. And I'm going to tell you about something about those stars of God. You know, they were the guardians. You knew the stars of God. Those were the guardians. But let me tell you what's so interesting about them. They're like the guards on earth. God didn't have to worry about fighting. Mike and them said, you ain't taking my job. You're not taking my position. Saints, on the other hand, give it away up just like that. Well, it's only Jesus. It's only God. It's only Christ. These 14 events incarnated the Christ, birthed the church, founded Christianity, and ushered in the Almighty's government. 14 things. From the war in heaven to the day the Holy Ghost fell on Pentecost. Can I say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Can you all get what that means? That means all that other crazy doctrine you're talking about and all that other stuff they're trying to confuse you with, if it's not in the continuum, it's not in God. And if it's not in God, don't worry about it. God said about a prophet that was lying, if the word doesn't happen, if I haven't sent them, I didn't say it, don't be afraid of them. Much of what you're afraid about in Christianity is tied to human doctrine. Much of what you're afraid about in Christianity is tied to what? It's tied to what? So you're afraid of man. You're afraid of people's imagination. Now, the whole purpose of this training and why we're doing it all week long is that you can explain to people why you're a Christian and why Christianity is indeed the first faith. Because it's the only eternal faith. Satan's first faith is Christ. His second faith is unbelief. The minute he started believing in himself, he broke rank with believing in God. When he broke rank with believing in God, he had to establish his own continuum. And so he has one. How many of you know he has a continuum? Would you like to see it in Scripture? Well, nobody else. Okay, so over lunch, Tyler, I will... I'll tell you over lunch because these people are not really interested. Oh, maybe I'll ask again. I didn't ask it right. Would you like to be introduced in Scripture to Satan's continuum?
Yeah.
Oh, got it. All right. You know, I didn't want to waste our time. Go to your book. Go to Genesis. This is the day. I want you to go to Genesis, and I want you to go to Genesis 16. Now, four 16. Now, we can go through the whole thing, but I will charge you to do that on your own time. However, there is a continuum. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of that city after the name of his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mahujael, and Mahujael begot Methusael, and Methusael begot Lamech. And then Lamech created, what did he create? Bigamy. See, bigamy was in Cain's line. That wasn't in God's line. Okay? And he took for himself two wives. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the second was Zillah. And Adah bore Jabal, and he was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all those who play the harp and the flute. And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor in every craftsman in bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Anybody's getting that? He has his own continuum. And when you continue to read Cain's line, you read that Babylon came out of Cain's continuum. So when Israel did not want to live in God, he sent them back to Adam's. He sent them back to Cain's. Because if there is a light, there must be darkness. If there's a right, there must be a wrong. If there's a yea, there must be a nay. If you're going to give people free will, they have to have what? Choices. And if they have choices, what must they have? Alternatives. You don't give free will and not create alternatives. You don't tell your kid he can eat all the food he wants and you only have one bowl of beans. That's not a choice. That's compulsion. We also study here, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is what sets us as a nation. Before we became all of the church things, say you are a chosen generation. Why generation? This week in class, we're going to see the continuum in the generation. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You don't ever hear us think about that as a nation. You could say we know the nation of Islam, even the black nation of Islam that was born in America. We're the nation of Islam. No, y'all Americans. Y'all can't be a nation because y'all Americans. Because if you're a nation as an American, then we are a nation as Christians. So if they got to give you rights because you're a nation, because you joined a religion, then we are to have rights as a nation. But because our preachers didn't know about the continuum and they didn't take our scriptures for real, they let them push their culture in the name of a nation. But then if they can't accept this as a nation, then they have to tell us our Bible is wrong. They don't want to take that fight. We are a holy nation, the nation of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hi, this is Prophet Ashley. Luke 6 tells us to give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Because you've been blessed by today's message, go to www.drpaulaprice.com and click on Sow a Seed. Thank you for attending today's Sunday sermon with Dr. Paula Price. Don't forget to participate in Dr. Price's live, weekly, interactive radio talk show right here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, that is www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.